Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 203 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name is Garrett Drake. I'm joined across the internet by Jacob Alka. Preston's absent, maybe for the rest of our lives. Miss him to bits. Jacob, how are you?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm very tired, but happy to be here. How's your week?
It's been a good week. It was a weird week. As many people know, I still live at my parents' house, and they were gone the whole week. So I had the whole house to myself, and it was kind of strange because of how quiet it was.
Your house now.
Yeah, because my house is always very noisy usually because I have like two autistic brothers and they're, one of them is really, really noisy and his room is right next to mine. So it was just an odd experience to have so much quiet around me. But right. It's been an exciting week in terms of like video game news. Getting very, very close to E3, my friend. I know you're going to be gone for pretty much all of it, but I'm assuming you're still really excited for all the news that's going to come out of it.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm not sure like what kind of coverage or if any if we're going to have this year, but nonetheless, we will have our thoughts, at least in podcast form, in a couple of weeks for sure. And I'll obviously be sharing many thoughts that I have through my streams and you know social media and whatnot.
I think I lost Jacob.
Well, yeah, I had a good week. Nothing too exciting. Just been working a lot. What about you?
That's good. Let's see. Where should I begin? I'm done with school, thankfully,
dude,
for the summer.
Congrats. And did you pass?
I had a funny reconnecting. We're having a poor connection. You still there, Jacob?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. Sorry about that, folks. We're back. We had a bit of a technical goof there. Jacob, I'm glad you had a good week.
So why don't you tell me about your week? You briefly mentioned that you finished school.
I did finish school. I'm off for the summer, which is nice.
That's awesome.
I had a very stressful experience this week with my final projects.
No, no.
Far more stressful than they should have been. And it was a goof that I inflicted upon myself that I knew better than to do, but I did it anyway because it was a part laziness, part financially related.
Okay.
I can't even speak this morning. My mind's melted after all this. So I had shot a portion of a music video for my final project. I shot all of the narrative portion of it, and it was a ton of footage. I'm talking like filled. It was like 300. It was like at least 80 to 100 gigs of footage I had shot.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't want to dump that on my computer because that's already probably packed to the brim. And I typically dump everything I shoot onto four separate external hard drives, so I know there's no chance of me losing it. Well, one of my four hard drives died on me earlier this quarter, and I tried to salvage it via YouTube tutorials, and I mutilated it even more, so it's dead completely, which wasn't a big deal. That's where I just dumped storage stuff that I didn't really need, but I stored it there in case I'd ever needed it again.
Yeah.
So that one died. Then my other two out of my other three are completely full.
Both
500 gig SSDs. And I couldn't afford to delete anything off them because they are full of school projects and work projects that I need to hang on to for a little while longer.
Uh-huh.
So my only other option was my 8 terabyte external hard drive, which obviously can break very easily because it's gigantic and it's not SSD. So it's very prone to damage.
Yeah.
So that's all I had left, but it's obviously plenty of space to dump everything on. And I decided, I was like, well, you know, I could throw another hard drive onto my credit card, but I'm already in a ton of debt and I'd prefer to avoid that since I only have like a week and a half left of school.
Sure.
So I'll just dump this footage onto this 8 terabyte and hope for the best. And now I knew only putting it there was a huge risk. I knew that going into it. I was like, but I'm just going to be very careful and hope nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I shot all of the narrative stuff, and it took 2 days to shoot it all, two really late nights. And it was beautiful footage, some of the best footage I'd shot all quarter. And I was really happy about it, so I couldn't wait to edit it. So the following day, we shot the band, and the band stuff went really well. And I can't remember how I didn't lose the band stuff, but I guess I had it stored on just my PC, my laptop, as well as the hard drive. Well, following day, my group and another class and I had shot a bunch of stuff for a skateboarding, like branded content video.
Yeah.
And we decided, you know, we only have a couple of days left, we'll meet as a group and just kind of edit it together and the way that we want it to be. So the only place we can meet was in like the school little cafeteria area. And there was one power outlet next to this table we were sitting at. And that hard drive I have needs power to operate. So we sit at this table and I run the cable off the table onto the floor. And then right next door, we're sitting, the only power outlet near us.
Okay.
So I'm editing footage and I go to actually export something. And I knew sitting there, I'm like, someone's definitely going to trip over this cable. So I have to keep my eye out for people walking through here.
Oh, no, dude.
There's a couple of people that came by and I warned them as they were approaching me, like, hey, watch your step. There's a cable here. And they go, like, oh, okay. And they'd step over it. Well, there was one girl blazing across this cafeteria on her phone. And I can tell she's not going to hear me the first time. So she's like halfway across the cafeteria. And I can tell she's beelining it right for where we're sitting.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, watch your step. There's a cable here. And she doesn't hear me. So I'm like, hey, watch your step. There's a cable here. And I say it like three or four times and she does not hear me once. And she trips completely over the cable, rips the power cable out of the wall, rips the hard drive off the table. It goes flying and just smashes to the ground.
No, dude.
Now it didn't shatter. Like externally, you couldn't tell that anything had happened, but internally it was completely destroyed.
Oh my God.
So computer couldn't read the drive, and I was like, "Welp, I'm screwed because all the stuff I'd shot for this narrative." Thankfully, I had all the band footage still, but I was like, "All the stuff I shot for this narrative is on that drive, and if I can't get it to work, then I've lost it completely."
Yeah.
So I called a bunch of different data recovery centers, and I knew they were expensive, but I think the fastest, like expedited service to get it into a place, have them look at it, and attempt to fix it is no less than $5,000. Yeah. And they know the reason why they jack up the prices is because they know how valuable that service is.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're doing it for like, whether it's like a government related company or a big business company that needs files recovered for like immediate, like business related issues.
That's why they charge so much. Business is more likely to be able to expend that kind of money.
Exactly. So I did find one place that allowed walk-ins. That's about 20 minutes south of the city. For $1,700, they will try to solve the issue. But thankfully, they don't charge you unless they know for a fact they can fix it. So I dropped the drive off. And when I dropped it off, I had less than 24 hours to shoot another narrative portion to plug into this video because it's required for the class. And I brought it to them, and they got back to me a few hours later and said, well, if we're going to fix this, it's going to take a few days. So there's no way you're getting your footage before it's due. So then I knew I had to shoot something else or reshoot what we had shot, but I'll get to that in a second. Long story short, I found out they could not recover the drive unless they replaced a lot of the insides of it, and they said it would, quote, vastly increase the price.
Oh my God.
So $1,700 was already pushing it, but anything beyond that was just too much.
Sure.
So I had to choose to let that drive die. It had a lot of good stuff on it, which sucks, but that's a lesson I had already learned over a decade ago, essentially. But I'm learning it again. Dump your footage in more than one place because that's bound to happen. Or at least don't use external hard drives. Go SSD because it won't break nearly as easily, thankfully.
Yeah, I mean, that's not necessarily your fault. I mean, you did your best to, you know.
Yeah, but it is because I did not back it up in more than one place. And I knew plugging it into that wall was a huge risk.
Yeah.
And every my worst fears came true with that experience. But
was there no way to like move the table closer to the wall or something?
I guess we could have, but I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't matter now, but
yeah, I can't go back now. But long story short, the actress and I decided, you know, let's just reshoot what we shot because while we were in the process of editing that footage, there was a lot of stuff we had to decide on cutting out because that had to fit within the confines of the music video and also tell a full story without it being confusing.
Sure.
So we found a bunch of stuff that we could cut out. So we're like, why don't we just reshoot all the stuff that we knew we were going to keep? And that way it's a lot less work and we won't be shooting unnecessary footage. So in one night, we reshot the entire narrative sequence.
Jeez.
Took forever. Not only did we reshoot it, but I had to edit it and turn it in that morning.
Yeah.
Now, thankfully, what we reshot was also really, really pretty footage.
Yeah.
I wasn't as proud of it as I was as the original because it was very rushed. But what we shot worked really well. And in the final product of the video, I was actually happy with it. And the band was really happy with it, too, thankfully. It's a shame, though, because what we had shot so much footage that we decided, like, well, since we can't keep all of this for the music video, maybe we'll just take this footage and turn it into some sort of short film in addition to it, because it's still like a really interesting story, in spite of the fact that it's part of a music video.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all gone now, which sucks. And the original footage also, I mean, it's about a girl who breaks up with her boyfriend, burns all their belongings, and then invites another guy to go to the show of the band that's playing the song in the video.
Yeah.
So the original video, she does all these things, and then she leaves her apartment and goes and shows up at the show. So it's kind of like she actually exists within the world of where the band's performing.
Yeah.
And it shows her, like, partying and enjoying the song at the end of the tune. It was really cool. But for the video, since we couldn't obviously get the band back and reset up the entire production we had done with the band, we were like, we're just having to have her burn all the stuff. And then that's the end of the video. It still works, but it was cooler when she actually showed up at the show at the end.
Yeah.
So I was really bummed about that. And it was just incredibly high stress for the last few days of school.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The good news is, got it done. Lesson learned. New hard drive acquired. Band was happy. That was the highest, actually, ironically enough, that's the highest grade I got in a music video this course.
Dude, congrats.
So, the other ones I did well too, which I was happy about.
Problem solved when you needed to most.
Yeah, so it was brutal, but that was how exciting my school week was. But thankfully, I am on summer break and have a pretty thrilling 2 weeks ahead.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to rest as much as possible before that begins.
Sure, man. Yeah, that's... I'm sorry you had to go through that. It sounds like absolute hell. Like
it was, but it was still fun. But yeah, it was way more stress than I needed for the last few days.
Yeah.
So
that's great, man.
Yeah. I got nothing else going on, though.
Nice. I'm trying to think of like anything I watched this week. I know I watched something that I wanted to talk about. Have you been watching Rising of the Shield Hero still?
No.
Okay. Is it because you just don't have time or because you're not into it?
Well, it's the time, and I still haven't signed up for a Crunchyroll like premium account. I know it's cheap, but I just still haven't done that.
Fun fact, have Amazon Prime?
I do.
If you link it to your Twitch, go on Twitch and link it to Twitch through like Twitch Prime, you can get a free month of Crunchyroll right now.
Okay.
So if you wanted to do that, it's on the table. It's only for this month, though.
I may indulge then.
Yeah. And I don't know when that deadline ends, but if you did want to watch some ad-free Crunchyroll, that option is there right now. But yeah, I'm really enjoying that show. It's super awesome. I think I'm about 20 episodes in. I'm like caught up because I'm like on like they're releasing one like every Wednesday on Crunchyroll. And that show's super exciting. So I haven't seen Detective Pikachu or John Wick 3. Kind of bummed about because I've heard a lot of great things about John Wick 3. People are loving it so far. But I just have been kind of busy, honestly. So I haven't had time to go see it. Been playing a lot of games. You played any games this week?
Did not.
Yeah, I can imagine with all that stress you just went through. I'll just briefly go over what I've been kind of playing the last couple days. So I actually took my Switch downstairs to my dad's nice big 4K TV. Not that the Switch has 4K, but I hooked in my Switch, played some Octopath on a TV, nice big TV, makes the game look even more gorgeous than it already is. I began like my first chapter 2 portion of the story. And what that means is like I've unlocked all the heroes, and through unlocking all the heroes, you complete their level 1 story chapter. And once you do that, you begin their chapter 2s, obviously. I chose the one that was like lowest level so I could jump right into it, which was Tressa the Merchant. And so I didn't realize how grindy this game actually was. Like I should have, because of like its RPG nature, its old school, I guess callings, it's not the best word, but like it, like, so I got to the, like you go through this, I had to go through this mansion, kill a lot of enemies. And I got to the final boss. I attempted him and he was like, with like one hit, he was like knocking all my party halfway down to health. So I was like, okay, I need to go grind. So I turned my Switch off, rebooted it up. And I grinded for like an hour or 2 hours just to get my levels up to go fight this guy. I mean, and it was fun. Like it reminded me of like old school RPGs that I played in the past. But I think the thing about this game is that I love the combat so much that I didn't really mind going through all the grinding. It's like some people might not find it like really enjoying to sit there and do like turn-based combat. But I love the animations of this game so much. And I just really enjoyed like going through that process. So I completed her chapter two story, and now I'm beginning Cyrus, which is the scholar, and he's sort of like a mage type character. So I'm beginning his chapter two, and now I have to level him up because he's low level since he wasn't in my party when I was leveling prior. So that's kind of fun. It's going to take a lot of hours to beat this game. I'm starting to realize I've already played 23 and I've only completed one of the chapter two stories, and there's eight. And I think each character has three chapters. So got a lot of work cut out for me, but I'm pretty excited to get through more of it, obviously. And besides that, I've been playing a little more Apex, streamed a little bit this week. We actually got some really exciting news for Apex coming out of Respawn and EA from a post a couple days ago, which I'm super excited about. But just trying to get better, grinding games. Yeah, just nothing too crazy to talk about in Apex. Starting to get to that point where I'm kind of tired of doing the same thing over and over again. But well, just like I said, there's new content coming very soon. So hopefully that'll rejuvenate my my passion to play more. But besides that, dude, that's all I played this week, man.
Cool.
And I am just sweaty already.
Yeah, I think in 2 weeks when I get back, I got to decide if I'm going to start Days Gone, Rage 2. I think there's some other ones in there I want to play.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
You taking your Switch down to Florida?
Probably not. I'll be too busy.
Okay. That saddens me.
Yeah. I do want to play that Katana Zero game at some point.
Yeah.
When I'm on the go. I know there's a lot more games that I want to play. I just can't think of them right now.
Yeah. But. No problem, dude.
I
think you should play
one of
Days
those
Gone.
Two, I guess. I kind of want to play that. I hear no one talking about Rage 2. I think people talk about it.
I don't hear anyone talking about either of those games anymore.
And that was it. So
I don't think either of those games are like knocks out of the park, but you know, they're both decent games. So I think you'd enjoy either one regardless.
Yeah.
A lot of people
kind
of
have
Rage
Persona on the mind too. Maybe I'll do Persona at some point this summer.
No, come on, bro. Don't kid yourself. So you're actually going
to
play Persona 5?
I want to, but the problem is that when I actually do have time to play games, I want to play new stuff that's come out.
Sure, yeah.
Even though, in a lot of ways, Persona is still new to me because
yeah,
I've
is.
Only played
exactly,
like 25%
yeah.
of it.
You read my mind.
So, yeah. Anyway, I want to see Godzilla really bad. I hear it's pretty cool.
Yeah? Is it getting good reviews? Good press?
I mean, it's kind of mixed, but all the people I trust are really into it and say it's definitely better than the previous Godzilla movie. There's a lot more monster action, which is cool.
Yeah, isn't this one, like, isn't he fighting a bunch of monsters in this one? Like,
yeah, I think he's fighting. I'm not going to pretend like I'm a Godzilla expert, but from what little I know, he's fighting Rodan. I know Mothra's in there, and then King Ghidorah. I think is how you say it. Ghidorah, maybe. I hear the visual effects are pretty astounding, and I hear the action sequences are incredible. And I'm all about that monster action, especially if it's Godzilla.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool. Maybe Preston wants to go see it.
Yeah.
Do you want to go see
maybe
it?
Maybe I want to go see it.
Yeah, maybe the three of us could go do that.
I mean, it's going to be
granted,
a while.
I think about it. I'm like, when am I going to have time? Maybe Sunday. Are you available Sunday after church?
Yeah, I think I could be, yeah.
Would you want to do like a Sunday night Godzilla viewing?
Maybe. Depends like how late you want to go.
What if we went around like 6, 7 o'clock?
I could do that.
Okay, because I'm going to go to North Point Mall after church, because I got to do all that shopping for my trips. It's going to be exciting.
Okay.
If you want to shop, you're more than welcome to join me.
Okay.
But
I'll keep that in mind.
At the very least, we could go see Godzilla at North Point.
Okay. Sounds
good. I know this is probably a conversation we should have outside the podcast.
Yeah, but, dude. They don't care.
You know, it'd be pretty fun to spend the day with you.
Yeah, I agree. We don't get to do that very often anymore.
Well, I'm trying to think of anything else I have to tell. I could have sworn I had some stories to tell. Maybe not. I don't know. I definitely have some tales to tell.
My problem is I always think like I have good stories to tell throughout the week, and then I just completely forget them.
Yeah, I typically write them down if it's worth telling, but I guess nothing really happened if I don't have anything to tell. So
yeah,
that's it, brother. I guess we can jump into this whole podcast.
Yeah, dude. You want to bring us in?
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the It's Obvious podcast where my best friends gather every single week to discuss video games and more. If you enjoyed this podcast, it's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, many other podcasting services. If you just Google It's Obvious Podcast, it'll come up everywhere. Also available on YouTube if there is a video version this week. I cannot confirm that yet. I'm going to go ahead and say probably not, unfortunately. But in 2 weeks, I know I said like at the end of the month, I'll be free. I was wrong because I have to immediately go back out of town for 2 weeks. So after those 2 weeks, I have no idea what my summer holds after that. So there's no reason for me not to be able to contribute more to this podcast and It's Obvious Gaming in general. So I'm excited about that because the last 6 months of my life have been nothing short of hell. Full of fun, but mostly hell. So it is good to be off of school and have a summer ahead that I can relax a bit and hopefully contribute more to this podcast because it means the world to me, despite what it may seem due to our busy schedules. But we're happy to be here. This is episode 203, and we're ready to talk about the news of the week. Are you ready, Jacob?
Yeah, man. Well, with that said, hey, man, what's the news?
Well, Jacob, let's begin with the potential that the next Star Wars trilogy helmed by the Game of Thrones boys may be Old Republic focused.
Dude, it was when I read this headline, I was super like jazzed. Like, I never imagined that this would even be a thing ever.
I know. It is so rife for storytelling potential that it's just a no-brainer, I feel like, at this point. Now, granted, I could also be happy with a streaming service of Old Republic and really, really explore it.
Sure.
But again, movies, TV, whatever it may be, I am all about seeing more of the Old Republic because I love it.
Yeah.
And it makes total sense to me, especially after the Skywalker saga ends. I have been highly disappointed. Not entirely, but as people know, I was highly disappointed with Last Jedi. So I'm going into Rise of Skywalker. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. With a guarded heart, I'll say.
Yeah.
Because I don't have much faith in this trilogy wrapping up in a satisfying way.
I have more faith in like J.J. Abrams wrapping it up than like someone else. I think he's like the best option right now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Is what it is, but post this Skywalker saga, if they just start fresh with stories that are totally original and not related to the original trilogy, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah. So, that way, like, fans don't have a, like, the problem with, like, you know, the Game of Thrones ending and, like, this Star Wars thing, too, it's, like, people build up all this hype over, like, what they want to happen or, what they think should happen. And then when that doesn't happen, like, people are super disappointed because they would have done it the same way. So it's just,
that's the thing with me at Game of Thrones. It's not about the way it happened. I mean, it's not about what happened. It's about the way they told the story. It's just it was way too rushed. They could do the exact same things, but if they drug it out a bit more and explored more of these characters the way they used to, then I would be more satisfied.
Yeah,
so that's true. That's the only reason I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to earn my trust again with the Star Wars movies, unfortunately. They have to earn everyone's trust after that.
I think
they've proven to be really exceptional writers in the past, but these last two seasons of Game of Thrones were rather disappointing.
Yeah.
So
I wonder why, like, I know this is a little off topic, but I wonder why they chose to, you know, reduce the seasons and just kind of end it. I mean, I'm sure, like, there's money.
I can't think of any other excuse than they were just done. So I wanted to move on, which is really a shame because I'm a firm believer in finishing what you start to the best of your ability.
Sure.
And that was just very much what felt like a very lazy conclusion to such a wonderful TV show.
Yeah, it just sucks because, like, obviously the interest is there. Like, I think the last episode had the most viewers ever. Like, people obviously want to see that show go on, but I guess HBO had other plans.
Who knows? Maybe Game of Thrones will be rebooted in the future.
God, maybe
tell the story again.
I'd love to see other stories, which is I guess what they're planning to do. So
I guess
that's the thing. It's that, like, universe.
It's funny. Is I think the reason why I like Game of Thrones is because it was about the Game of Thrones and the drama there and the competitiveness towards the throne itself. Whereas the world itself is not as interesting to me as, say, Lord of the Rings or any other, like, medieval type, like The Witcher, for example.
Yeah.
Like, I'm more interested in those worlds than I am Game of Thrones worlds.
Yeah.
But so that's why the additional stories they could tell in that world don't interest me very much.
Sure.
But I mean, I'm going to watch them. Don't get me wrong. I'm definitely going to watch them.
That, like, they couldn't tell, like, a Lord of the Rings style story within that world, you know, in
the
future. You know,
we got to remember Amazon's Lord of the Rings is also coming, their TV show. So that has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be. I hope it's up to par as Game of Thrones, for example, as far as storytelling in a world like that.
Sure. Since we're on the topic, this is sort of a little fun question. Do you like the world of Lord of the Rings, The Witcher, or Game of Thrones more? Which one compels you, just in, like, a fantasy sense?
Now, here's the problem. I've only played Witcher 3, and I've not read any of the books.
Okay.
So I have a feeling,
just based off what you know on 3.
Based on what I know, probably Lord of the Rings is my favorite.
Okay, yeah, that's mine too.
I get the feeling that had I read more of the Witcher books, played all of the games, had more of an understanding of how that world is, yeah. then I might say Witcher, because I really, really love what I experienced in Witcher 3 alone. Mm-hmm. So let's also keep our fingers crossed that the Netflix show doesn't suck. I'm not too optimistic about it.
You know, why not?
But I hope it's incredible. I'm not, no. Based on the images I've seen, the creative choices they've made so far, it's not very impressive. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I always, whenever I say that, I always hope I'm dead wrong, that sure. I can say that I was wrong. But we'll see.
I hope you're wrong.
Yeah, me too. Let's all hope I'm wrong. But yeah, Old Republic, there's a million stories they could tell. And that's what's probably the hardest part, is like, what kind of story do we want to tell in all this gigantic world?
Sure.
Packed full of Jedi, packed full of Sith. Bounty hunters, and I like the idea of a movie taking place, not necessarily exclusively, but predominantly on Coruscant.
Yeah.
Because that planet has always fascinated me, and it's gigantic. Mm-hmm. And there's a million stories you could tell on that planet alone. So I'd love to see an Old Republic series that is sort of based on Coruscant.
Sure.
That'd be cool.
I just love the possibility of having Darth Revan on screen. Like, that's so exciting to me. He is such a cool character.
And I think about that, villains, they could write totally original villains too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing stopping them. That is the ultimate creative playground in Star Wars. So
this is like the first time they've ever been able to do this, you know, like they've always been tied to the Skywalker, whatever lineage, whatever the 9 movies.
Right.
And even like Rogue One, Solo, like those have also been tied to Skywalker. So I guess this is sort of similar to, well, yeah, like Rebels, because, I mean, that's kind of tied to Skywalker in a way, but it was also kind of original, and they just kind of told a new story.
So. I'm also very excited for Mandalorian, because that's also another example of just totally original storytelling in the Star Wars universe.
Sure.
So,
and that's something that people have always wanted more of, is more bounty hunter stuff, because people love Boba so much.
And I'm still convinced, man, a bounty hunting Star Wars game is perfect. Like, they've got to do that. I mean, I didn't love the Jango Fett bounty hunting game back in the day on, I think it was PS2 or PS1.
It was PS2, I think.
But the potential's there. And I remember my Star Wars pitch was a little overly ambitious, I will say, for a bounty hunting game. But I'd love to see something like that exist. I think it'd be cool. So, but speaking of Star Wars, did you see some of the footage from Galaxy's Edge?
I did, yeah. I saw the Millennium Falcon. I saw some of the beverages they're serving, which look really cool, by the way. I saw some footage of the ride. I think it's isn't there a ride inside the Falcon?
Obviously there's like the stage Falcon that just kind of sits there. You can walk past, but the ride is called Smuggler's End or Smuggler's Edge, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's it.
And that's the ride that takes place within the Millennium Falcon itself, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
So I'm excited to try that. One day.
I heard that ride's not like incredible, but I heard it's like a cool experience. And
plus you're inside the Falcon, so it's cool.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I cannot wait to go check that place out myself. I don't know when I'm going to do it, but
yeah,
God, I want to go so bad.
I do too. And I think about it, it's like when we go there, we have to wait just to ride the rides alone. No less than 3 hours.
Oh, sure, dude.
No less. I mean, for the next couple of years, it's going to be that way, unfortunately.
I was talking to Zach while in Fort Lauderdale, Garrett.
Yeah.
No, actually, it was when we got back. I was on a phone call. He's planning on going down there like sometime in October. Okay. Is there like any possibility that you would have time to go? Like, I know you can't really know right now, but I think he was like planning on trying to get a lot of us to go down to Disney for like a couple days.
Okay, well, let me say this. If it's Disney, I'm always going to have time. I will make time for Disney, especially if we're going together.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should really discuss that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'll talk to him more about it and get some more details. But
speaking of Zach, we should have a lake day with Zach soon. He's been talking about it.
Yeah, also in that phone call, we were talking about going back to his parents' place and having a lake day.
Perfect. Well, I'll drive us if we can make it happen.
Dude, let's do it.
This summer, let's go get Wet and Wild, Jacob.
Dad, love that. That was such a good weekend. I loved that weekend.
We need more of those. I think it should be an annual thing, the boys at the lake for a weekend.
Yeah, we originally planned that, but I don't think it happened last year. And I think the first time we did it was the year prior. So
yeah, we'll make up for it this year. Well, Galaxy's Edge does look cool. Hopefully we'll get to experience it, if not this year, in our lifetime.
Yes.
But I'm excited about that opportunity at some point.
Yeah.
What else we got going on? You want to bring us in about Apex Legends while I refill my coffee mug here?
Sure, dude.
Okay. Season 2. If you need me to send you the link I pulled up, I can send it to you.
Yeah, actually, that would be nice.
Okay, one moment.
That way I don't have to do any work.
What is this? Oh, I lost it. Dang it.
I have another article pulled up.
Okay, it's perfect. Okay. I'll be back.
All right. So, everybody, this is a PC gaming article by Andy Chalk, and it's titled Apex Legends Season 2 Battle Pass Details Revealed. First, a limited time event coming next week. So, I guess I'll read, like, the first article, or not the first article, the first paragraph, then I can kind of just briefly go over what I know, and then we can kind of share thoughts here. So Respawn has revealed the first details about the upcoming Apex Legends Season 2, which will be supported with a new and much changed battle pass. But before all that happens, a time limited event called Legendary Hunt will get underway next week that will give players a chance to earn an epic Master of the Hunt skin for Bloodhound, the Honored Prey legendary skin for the R301, and a legendary Night Terror skin for Wraith. And so there's some images down below, which I'm not going to kind of describe to you guys because I'm just not going to. But so this new event's called the Legendary Hunt. And basically, it's going to be an event that's kind of tied around completing some challenges. It's like a 2-week event. And I guess if you complete these challenges in time, you get these cool rewards. And I think some of them are tied to the battle pass. Like if you're a certain level above the battle pass, it'll just give you stuff for free, which is cool. But it's just exciting to have some shit to grind for, some new skins or anything coming to Apex Legends, because it's been pretty dry for probably about 2 or 3 months now, which is super frustrating for a game that I love so much. And just slowly seeing the player population kind of dwindle down has been kind of discouraging. But I have a lot of faith that once Season 2 hits, it's really going to be rejuvenated, depending on what EA says at EA Play next weekend, actually, which is crazy to think that E3 is this close. But they've gone on record promising that Season 2 is going to be huge. They're adding a lot of stuff to the game. I think it's safe to say there's at least going to be a new hero, new cosmetics, and new map changes. So at the very least, all that excites me a lot. And yeah, I'm excited for this event next week. I'm going to be streaming it. I'm going to be playing a lot next week. So be sure to tune in if you see me online.
I'm going to ask you a question, Jacob.
Sure, good.
Upon returning from my trips in 2 weeks, may I join you on a stream playing Apex?
Oh, God, that would make me so happy.
How fun would that be?
I would orgasm live on stream.
If you orgasm, I'm an orgasm.
Oh, God.
It'd be a chain reaction of orgasms. Probably everyone in the stream, too. It's going to be a real erotic experience. So here's the problem is that I have not played Apex since like the second week it launched.
Oh, who cares?
So I'm sure there's some sort of meta that's established since then that I'm just totally unaware of.
We'll teach you. Don't you worry.
Are there new weapons and stuff?
New
weapons, new legends.
There's only been one weapon added.
Okay, I have not played, I'm not even kidding, since the second week it was out.
Okay, so yeah, you haven't. There's a new legend and there's a new weapon.
Okay.
The new legend.
Any map changes?
No.
Okay. All right.
That's why it's so cool. Exciting that they're going to be changing the map, because there's been nothing.
Yeah. Well, Jacob, I think to branch out a bit, maybe you could join me while you're streaming for a couple hunt matches here and there.
I think that's a fair trade. Maybe I could try Hunt for the first time.
I think you should try it. I'll take you on a journey through Hunt. Now, granted, Hunt's changed a lot since the last time I played, too, so I'll have to get used to it again. But I think you and I would have so much fun playing that together.
Yeah.
Because especially if you get the jitters from some horrific imagery things chasing you.
No.
I think you'd have a great
time. I've seen that spider. I do not like that spider one bit.
There's a new boss, too, that's sort of in the idea of what I had imagined at one point. It's like a phantom-type entity.
Yeah,
I think he's comprised of like rats or something. Ugh. But I'd always thought like a witch-like creature would really fit well into that world, and I'm pretty sure that's what the boss is like.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah, I would actually love that.
Yep. They've also added the much requested FOV slider in the settings finally, which is great.
Yeah, that's huge.
I know that. I know there's new weapons. There's new, not really map changes, but different times of day for the maps. You can also outfit your hunter now. So if you, for example, if you have a tier 3 hunter, they're the ones that look the coolest with like the cloaks and like the masks and the hats and everything.
How do you get a tier 3 hunter? Just through like experience?
You have to buy them. The game's all based around that currency. That's why I love it, because you're just high stress about losing money and making money to afford the weapons you need, the gear you need, because it's very much survival horror in a multiplayer setting.
Sure. Is it in-game currency, though?
It's in-game, yeah. Okay, there's no microtransactions, which is nice.
None at all.
Wow. No, it's all in-game. But I won't ramble on about Hunt too much, but one update that I think is cool, for example, is that if you have a tier 3 hunter, their default outfit almost always looks cool, but if you prefer a different one, you can actually cycle through the different tier 3 outfits and like pick the one you like the most, just if you like to look cool.
Sure.
Which is something I appreciate.
Yeah.
But little things like that, they've updated like quality of life improvements and everything. So that game's really coming a long way. I know it still has a very minuscule player base, but here and there, I'll see streamers talking about it. They're like, wow, I didn't realize how cool this game was. And I get so excited because that game really is amazing. But so we should do that. But regardless, I'd love to join you for some Apex.
Yeah, dude. Let's make this happen when you get free late June.
Yes, mid-June. June 15th. Technically, this probably June 16th is my first truly free, nothing planned day.
Yeah. Are you like just counting the days down? Like, I know you're excited to go down to Florida and this opportunity is really great, but are you just like super jazzed to have a lot of stress, I guess, relieved from you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's the thing. The two trips I have coming up, thankfully, are not stress related. I'll be in Nashville for CMA Fest,
but you're
doing
be
video,
busy, you know,
and then immediately to Florida for video. So I love doing that stuff. So that's going to be a ton of fun. And the fact that it's not school related is already stress-free, because the school-related part is just the crunch and having to get stuff done in a certain amount of time.
Sure.
Whereas this is just, we're having fun, making cool videos, the end. So yeah. I'll have fun, but I am looking forward to just having time for myself again, because I've not had time for myself. Truly, like a full day to myself, I've not had, not an exaggeration, in at least 6 months.
It's insane.
So that really is weird on my mind and my, just, I don't even know who I am half the time anymore. So need time to just sit and just be, you know what I'm saying?
So, I feel you, dude.
I am stoked to just hang and play some games again. And I think post E3, especially, dude, I'm going to be dying to play something.
Mm-hmm.
So this is probably the longest I've ever gone without playing a game for an extended period of time. It's been strange.
It's crazy, man.
So I'm ready to be back though. Ready to be back in the ecosystem. Ready to be back fully aware of all the news that's happening. Prepare for the podcast days in advance and have it way more engaging and not as fractured and me yawning every 5 seconds. So it's going to be good. We're almost there. So it's exciting. Now, question is, what are you and Preston going to do the next 2 weeks?
I don't know. We got to talk.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll figure something out.
Me and him,
I called him
this
morning.
Nowadays.
He didn't pick up. I was going to try to call him and get him on this episode, but he didn't pick up.
Yeah.
Granted, he has a ton going on. So
we don't blame him at all. I miss him to death, though.
Yeah, just know that everyone out there who's wondered where Preston is, he has not bailed on the podcast. He's not being lazy. He has arguably more going on than I do right now, so it's totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's move on to something I really want to talk about. We'll talk about Death Stranding last, I guess, but Modern Warfare's reveal trailer. I mean, talk about the trailer itself, but I have actually details pulled up about that trailer. One sec.
Okay.
Here we go. I lose the trailer too. I mean, there it is. Is this it? This can't be it. Oh, I put it on this sheet. That's why. Okay. So first and foremost, Jacob, tell me how you feel about the trailer before we talk about the details.
So just like the trailer itself?
Yeah. I mean, the trailer itself obviously just doesn't do much in regard in telling us what the game's all about.
I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
So correct me if I'm wrong. This is like a remake of Modern Warfare.
It is not a remake. It is a soft reboot of the franchise.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I made the same mistake in Discord when talking about it earlier this week. Yeah. So
the new story I have here is a bit of a novel, but I think it put things into perspective for people who don't know, including yourself, because I was not fully aware of exactly what this version of Modern Warfare was until I read this article.
Okay.
You want me to read it now?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So this comes from Oscar Deus of GameSpot. It says, its release date is set for October 25th on PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and it features some significant and welcome changes on the multiplayer front that should make it a lot more welcoming for players, along with that Infinity Ward calls a more realistic style of single-player campaign. Oh my gosh, one sec. I spilled some coffee.
He spilled his coffee, I think. What a dumb. Oh boy. Well, all right, he's back. He's coming. He's running over with a napkin.
One sec.
But yeah, chat, the thing I'm most excited for
thankfully
about...
Thankfully, it did not hit the keyboard. We're good.
The coolest thing about Modern Warfare this time is that there's going to be cross-play, which is, like, huge for Call of Duty, because all these other... I guess not all these other franchises, but a lot of other companies are doing crossplay now, and I think it's super exciting that Call of Duty is going to have that now. And I think as time goes on, a lot more companies are going to be doing crossplay. So definitely get used to seeing that, guys.
All right, I'm back.
Did you spill your coffee?
I did just barely near the laptop, but it did not hit the keyboard, so we're good.
You fool.
All right, one sec. Okay, anyway, where was I?
You began reading an article single player about
campaign, more realistic style single player campaign. All right, let me get back on this mic. So it goes on to say, notably, this is not a Modern Warfare 4, which would have been the next numbered entry in the series. The game's subtitle is simply Modern Warfare, and it serves as a reboot of sorts of 2007's Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. It's decidedly not a remake, with developer Infinity Ward, the studio responsible for all the Modern Warfare games, describing it instead as a reimagining. The new game is not set in the same universe as the existing trilogy. Infinity Ward says that the world has left little room to raise the stakes further, but it does feature some familiar faces. Captain Price is back, for example, but with a new voice actor. Excitingly, the game will feature cross-play across PS4, Xbox One, and PC, allowing players on all platforms to jump into matches together. Another major change for multiplayer is fans that Activision will not be selling the standard season pass that locks off new post-launch multiplayer maps. Instead, the new maps and events will be available to all players for free. The company has not confirmed what might take its place, if anything, nor do we know if the Blackout multiplayer mode for Black Ops 4 will return. More details may be shared during an E3 Coliseum panel on June 11th, and the game could potentially show up during an E3 press conference. However, given the aforementioned PS4 timed exclusivity, it probably won't show up during Xbox's, and Sony doesn't have a press conference of its own. So all that being said, Jacob, I've also read that those that have seen gameplay behind closed doors so far say it's definitely lives up to the description of being realistic. They said the death animations are far more realistic. They say it's very brutal and meant to be far more dramatic, which I think is pretty cool. It won't be quite as campy as previous Call of Duty titles, which I've always loved, like the summer blockbuster feel of single player Call of Duty campaigns. But I'm also open to it being more brutal. I've heard it's a bit slower too. It's running on a new engine. I don't know which engine specifically, but new engine, reimagined. Let me also say I love how the title is simply Modern Warfare. Jacob has left the room. I think he's saving the day, whatever may be going on. But as many of you know, whenever there's a reboot that occurs, I always love just renaming it something simple like the original title. I think it's really cool. So I'm pretty stoked about that. But gameplay wise, from what little I've heard, I'm also very excited. I cannot wait to see this game in action because I've waited for a long time. I haven't been dwelling on it, but I've certainly waited for Call of Duty to have some sort of reimagining, especially in terms of gameplay. So even if it's slightly tweaked, if it's a bit slower, a bit more brutal, more realistic death animations, from what we've heard about multiplayer, sounds cool. Love the fact that it's crossplay. I'm eagerly anticipating the gameplay reveal of this Call of Duty. How do you feel about it, Jacob?
100%, man. I think the most exciting thing is the crossplay and also the no season pass. Like in Black Ops 4, it is ridiculous how much they nickel and dime you. So you buy the game, right? Then also there's cosmetics on the black market. There's loot boxes that you can earn now. There's a season pass, and I'm leaving something else out. But there's like 4 or 5 different ways to spend money in the game. It's ridiculous. Because like usually a game has like maybe 1 or 2 ways to get cosmetics. No, Black Ops has like every way imaginable to like nickel and dime you, which sucks. Because it makes whatever their name is, Treyarch, look super greedy. So I'm glad like, you know, they're taking a step back this time at Infinity Ward. No season pass, crossplay, and free maps, which is super exciting. And I'm really jazzed about seeing like what a reboot of Modern Warfare can be, and just the idea of like not being in a futuristic setting or a World War II setting anymore. We're like in a modern day setting, which is super exciting. And I really liked the trailer. I thought it was intriguing.
You okay with it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're yawning.
Yeah, sorry.
You look like you're in pain for a second. Yeah, I'm excited. I always get excited about Call of Duty, so... It was funny because I think it was just last week they were like, oh, Raven and Sledgehammer are no longer working on the next Call of Duty.
Exactly,
it's going to be
I think that was a jump story into Treyarch.
And to be Black Ops 4, I was like, that's not even remotely exciting.
Yeah.
But this news from Infinity Ward is very exciting for me. So,
oh, yeah.
Pretty pumped.
So this isn't going to be like a, this is going to be a new story with similar characters, right?
Yeah. Price is back with a new voice actor. So they say yes, but it's a more serious story, supposedly. Okay. And it's not based in the existing Modern Warfare trilogy.
Gotcha.
So it is its own standalone title, which is cool.
Okay.
So
that seems to be like what Infinity War does now. Like they did Ghosts and they did Infinite Warfare, and now they're doing, I guess, just Modern Warfare.
I like one-offs too. I don't need trilogies for everything. We get trilogies in a lot of movies and a lot of games these days. So I'm cool with it being a one-off if it is.
Sure.
And it may set the trend, because I'd love if, because Modern Warfare, the original Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, is what really revolutionized like multiplayer shooters for a while, especially in 2007. And they really started like the trend of how Call of Duty is today. So I'd love to see if this version of Modern Warfare could again start things over. That's like a fresh start, at the very least for Call of Duty. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, they're never going to be what Call of Duty was, I don't think. Unless like Call of Duty just have some sort of like game break, not game breaking, but like just some revolutionary like game play style, or like something huge has got to happen for Call of Duty to like resurge as the prominent multiplayer game. Because people are, I think people are just kind of sick of playing the same thing over and over again, quite frankly. And
right,
you know, people have heard Call of Duty, Call of Duty, Call of Duty all these years, and
it still sells incredibly well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's something to keep in mind. It sells incredibly well every year. So
I'm thinking if the changes they've made are effective and received well, I think there is potential for it to rise above again.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we have great battle royale titles as far as multiplayer shooters are concerned. Mm-hmm. Not always shooters, but multiplayer.
Yeah.
I'm still really holding out hope for it. Halo Infinite. I'd love to see both Halo Infinite and this Call of Duty like really change things with their respective franchises.
Yeah.
Especially Halo, man. I miss the days where Halo was just king. And not that I wanted to be like king of multiplayer just because I love Halo, but I love just the culture surrounding Halo multiplayer, and like getting together with friends to play Halo and stuff was just so much fun. I'd love to have that experience again. Not that we can always just go play Master Chief Collection, and I'm so excited to be playing that on PC in the near future.
100%. I saw, you know who Dr. Disrespect is?
Yeah.
So he apparently had an NDA'd event that he went to on Friday, and he was at the Microsoft like recording studio or something. Like, I think he was checking out a game, so it's probably Halo on
PC. Dude, I hope so.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because he's a big PC player.
I think we'll undoubtedly, of course, see Halo Infinite at Microsoft's E3. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the focal point. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the focal point of their press conference.
Yeah.
Gears 5 will also be
shown. Gears 5, too.
Yeah, Gears 5 for sure. Which I will play, for sure. I've played all the rest. I might as well see it through to the end. But I'm hoping Gears 5, they've been kind of in the dark for a while now. I'm hoping that game mixes things up, because Gears 4, even though it was pretty good, didn't really change things up very much. It was very much been there, done that.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping with Gears 5, they just really branch out and try something new.
Mm-hmm. And we get to play it on PC. We get to play the Microsoft games on PC now.
I know. It's so
exciting. I think they also, like a couple of days ago, like they were teasing a new Battle Pass. Or not Battle Pass, sorry. The Game Pass for PC. Like, it's going to be just as good as it is on console.
So. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I am probably, with the exception of EA showing Jedi Fallen Order, I am most excited for Microsoft's press conference. And of course, if Sony was there, I'd say Sony. But with Microsoft being kind of the prominent figure at E3 this year, I'm very, very excited to see what they bring to the table. And of course, with all their new developers working on titles, I mean, Microsoft, they always bring it hard with their press conferences. Yeah.
Especially like the last couple years.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to see what they show off.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I think that brings us to Death Stranding. Jacob, I'm not going to lie to you. I have never had to dump my brains out this hard.
Oh, God.
Probably in my life. Okay. And I've said that many times, but this is up there.
Do we need to like take a break or something?
Honestly, I could poop in this chair.
So. Do you want to?
No, it's okay.
That'd make it for a good viral video. Man poops in chair while on podcast.
Psychopath poops in chair on podcast. Let's talk about Death Stranding, shall we?
Okay.
A lot. I'm going to try to skip around as much as I can. First and foremost, Jacob, initial impressions based on this. I think it was an 8-minute trailer.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about it?
Personally, I think I went from not knowing, I still don't know what the fuck is going on, just like everybody else. But we know much more than we did. We know like what's going on now. We know sort of why Norman Reedus is doing the things that he's doing and who's telling him to do these things and why he's doing these things. I mean, a lot of things are still unclear, but I think this trailer did a great job of like kind of just the atmosphere and like how the game's going to play. I think it did a good job of showing that. I mean, it was like a 9-minute trailer. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Typical Kojima. But it also like showed the kind of like the theme. He always has like a theme of what his games are about. And this one's like connection. So I think this trailer, for me at least, it made me super excited. I went from like not knowing what was going on and not necessarily caring, but not really anticipating it that much. But now I'm like fully on board. I want to see all the crazy shit that Kojima has been working on all these years, because this game is, if anything, this game is intriguing. You know, just like what is going on and why did he choose to tell the story the way that he's teasing it and potentially telling it?
Right. So I'm one of those people that, as everyone knows, since this game was announced, I'm like, I have no faith in this whatsoever until we know exactly what's going on here. Mm-hmm. But this trailer also has me pretty excited about it. I think I just need to see it more in action. And as wacky as it was and as confusing as it still is, I'm oddly enough actually excited about it now.
Yeah.
Nice. I think it's bizarre as the gameplay is. You know, he has like this, these tools at his disposal, like throw up a ladder and climb a cliff. He has that pick he can throw on the ground and climb down stuff. It looks like it's meant to be an open world that you can traverse in whatever way you see fit. Yeah.
Don't forget the baby.
So let me skim through some of this so we're kind of on the same page here. It says, where are we? Okay, as suspected, Death Stranding appears to be an open world title. It's certainly a survival element in play. We hear the mysterious babies being referred to as a kind of resource, and it seems likely that the limited oxygen will play a role. Given that we see protagonists wearing warm clothes during the snow section, Death Stranding will likely utilize some kind of temperature system that players will need to account for with their outfits. You know what I didn't think about until just now?
What?
I get the feeling that Kojima may be partly inspired by Breath of the Wild with this.
You think?
I think so. In terms of the open world, I think this may be almost, not directly, but partly inspired by Breath of the Wild.
I heard people on another podcast make that direct comparison, so I think you're onto something.
Because I think with the tools that they've teased at your disposal, like Link, for example, he can literally climb anything in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Which, thinking about Breath of the Wild, I kind of want to go back and play it now.
Yeah, but, it's so good.
I can see that the inspiration there, if that's the case. I mean, could you maybe be like, oh, I thought of that about that before Breath of the Wild came out.
But, sure. And he was like, head down making his game when that was coming out, I imagine.
Right. There's also vehicles included, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of there being a temperature system. It says navigating the world feels like a huge part of the experience. The player's item wheel seemingly includes a grappling hook, retractable ladder, and what appears to be a climbing or pickaxe. There seems to be quite a bit of freedom in regards to how you're able to navigate with lots of vertical and horizontal options. Speaking of getting around, players will have access to some kind of motorcycle. We'd be shocked if that's the only usable vehicle in the game. Combat is strange. It does look like your best option is to run away, which there seems to be quite a bit of. However, you'll clearly be able to utilize some kind of CQC techniques as a last resort. We see even Sam, Norman Reedus' character, utilize a briefcase as a makeshift weapon. Player's weapon wheel does include a gun, so you'll clearly be able to use them in some, we're guessing, limited capacity. We see Sam use a gun later, but that appears to occur during a specific combat section that may be a story segment. There are a couple instances of tracking in the trailer. The first comes when Sam sends out some kind of sonar wave. It seems to offer some sort of ghosted images nearby items and other noteworthy objects. The second instance of tracking sees Sam venture into the woods and leave a series of bright blue footsteps. These are complemented by a series of bright orange footsteps left by an invisible predator. We also hear Sam's backpack emit a noise similar to the radio in Silent Hill. This will likely serve as a warning system and really plays up the game's horror elements. Sony has confirmed that the asynchronous online gameplay will allow you to share supplies, safe houses, and routes with other players. Think Dark Souls. It's also been confirmed that there is no traditional death in this game, and that dying would just require you to find your way back from the other side. That's cool. It goes on to talk about the plot, which I am not totally interested in talking about right now because there's so much going on in that trailer. But yeah. I will say, I was reminded because I hadn't seen like a true Kojima trailer since Metal Gear Solid 5, and I'd totally forgotten about what his style is like.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm so engaged, because there's just something so unique about the way he presents his games that it just has me totally interested now.
Yeah.
Like all the various characters seem really interesting. Incredibly confusing, but the animation is gorgeous, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very excited to see them interact, and just the way the scenes are cut and the way they're shot are really interesting, too.
There's so many high-profile names in this game. Like, that alone is just exciting. Like, it just shows how much respect he has in the, like, just not only in just video games, but other media, too.
Yeah, he's a huge fan of film, too. Like, he's always tweeting about movies and everything, so it's clearly a part of his mantra, but I am very, very intrigued after this gameplay trailer. I kind of want to watch it again because I've only seen it through once. But even just based on rereading these bullet points from like the analysis of the trailer itself, that's going to be really intrigued, man. I hope we see it in action, maybe like an extended, like explained gameplay demo in the near future. I know Kojima has been tweeting to kind of clarify a few things after the trailer's release. But I'd like to see like a full on demo explaining exactly what we're doing in this world, because I know we got a few for Metal Gear before it came out, so I imagine it's only a matter of time. Plus it's coming out on where's the date?
Yeah, it's in November
or something.
I don't think anyone expected it to come out this soon, you know.
Yeah,
it's like I had no idea. Like, I thought Last of Us 2 would be out before this, maybe even Ghost of Tsushima, but man, I'm super jazzed that it's coming out this year. I guess
that's what's fascinating. We were expecting this to be like the last one released, November 8th of this year.
Yeah, because like up until now, we didn't know like what this was or like what it was even happening. So it just seemed like it was so far out.
Right. That's what because I remember not that long ago, we were speculating like, what is Sony's holiday going to look like? What is holiday season going to be for Sony? And clearly it's Death Stranding.
With this, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Not that they.
Man, I'm pumped for this. I'm really getting excited
for
this
title,
now.
You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is going to make them so much money.
Mm-hmm. It helps too. And this just goes back to like how important branding is. Mm-hmm. Kojima is such a specific type of entity within the games industry that it's almost like his brand, like his product is very unique to the industry. So that alone is like a selling point for the hype, and then building hype is like, oh, it's a Kojima game. And then the way his trailers are totally different from other trailers that come out for games. So I think Kojima's brand is what really is. I mean, obviously, it's always been that way for Kojima, but this especially being a brand new IP, Sony exclusive, Kojima at the helm, not controlled by Konami, like that is a huge selling point.
Oh, yeah.
Even for me, is like I've only played Metal Gear Solid 5. I've always been aware of Metal Gear. I've seen a lot of Metal Gear in action in the past, but I've never played anything aside from Metal Gear Solid 5 as far as Kojima titles are concerned. So I'm pretty excited.
Same, man. I'm really excited. Can't wait to learn more.
Well, what else we got here? Oh, Robert Pattinson is seemingly officially confirmed to play Batman in a potential trilogy. It's all still under negotiations, but he has been chosen by WB over Nicholas Holt. It's not officially confirmed, but it's more than likely going to happen. And I got to say, man, I am ecstatic about it.
Me too.
I cannot wait to see.
I want him to succeed so badly, dude. I want him to have this role that he just blows up from, because he deserves
me too,
it,
man.
Bro.
Yeah, he is a truly phenomenal actor, and I cannot wait to see where this takes him. And I'm hoping Matt Reeves' Batman is good, because Matt Reeves, his two Apes movies he did, I always get him confused. I think it's Rise, Dawn, and War, Planet of the Apes. I think Dawn is the second one, and then Rise is the third. Dawn is awesome. I love the second Apes movie. The third one was a little lackluster for me, and he wrote that one too and directed that one.
I saw the first two. I didn't see the third one.
From what we've heard, Batman will potentially be facing off with the Penguin and Catwoman and maybe more villains in this movie. And I'm still convinced one of the coolest Batman stories they could tell on screen. I know it's already been done in games, but the Arkham Asylum story, a spin on that could make just an incredible contained singular Batman story. I think it'd be awesome. It'd be totally different for the films too. So I think that's something they may or may not be doing, an Arkham Asylum type story. But that could be so cool. It could really establish that world too, if they're gonna do a trilogy, like introduce his entire rogues gallery, at least the majority of them, in Arkham Asylum, and even tease other villains that may not be in the movie. I love the Mr. Freeze tease in Arkham Asylum when you pass by like his chamber where he's imprisoned and it's frozen over. It's really cool.
What do you think the odds are of him just doing, or them doing like an origin story though?
I think they will not do the origin story. Obviously, this is in his formative years as Batman, but I think he will already be Batman. They may like discuss his past, but I don't think it'll be like Batman Begins where you actually see him become Batman.
Yeah.
I think this will probably be in the first year or two of him being Batman, and it'll go from there. And I'd love to see them do that. I think that'd be perfect if they started that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see him a little inexperienced too. Like in his formative years, he's still kind of figuring out like what he's going to be like. So that's a really fun like way to explore the character of Bruce Wayne and Batman, especially as him. Because in Batman Begins, like he's Batman, and then it kind of jumps ahead to Dark Knight where he's more established. So I'd love to see this, at least the first movie, be an exploration of not only his rogues gallery, but also him deciding like what kind of vigilante he's going to be, essentially.
Yeah. So, just hearing you talk about it gets me super pumped.
Yeah, and Robert Pattinson, man, he has the look, he has the acting chops, and I can already tell he's going to look so badass in the cowl.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to see what it's like. And, man, I'm so pumped. Like, this is probably, if I had to pick any actor, Robert Pattinson is probably the guy I would hope for most. So, yeah. I'm pumped, man.
Yeah, I'm pumped for him.
Yeah. And hopefully that movie's out within the next couple of years, at the very least.
Yeah, we'll
but
see.
I hope we just get a really cool image of him, either as, hopefully as Batman, of course, but at least as Bruce Wayne in like the coming months. Because I've heard that he's done a screen test in a bat costume. It's probably not the costume he'll have in the movie,
yeah.
But he's done a screen test in the costume. So it's exciting. And I'm still convinced. I think the Batman Begins bat suit is awesome, but I probably my favorite bat suit on screen so far has been Ben Affleck's suit.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see the black and gray return for Pattinson. Maybe a play in the black and gray still would be really cool.
What about classic
and shorter
George
years?
Clooney?
I want him to stick to the shorter years. I think the shorter years look cool.
Yeah. What about George Clooney's suit, man?
Yeah, that's probably my second favorite, man. Those built-in abs and the nips, man, to die for.
Dude, the nips really just get me going, man.
They do. Man, I love those movies. Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. If you look at them as campy comedies, those are excellent movies.
They are, yeah.
I love them. I quote Batman and Robin at least once a week.
Yeah. So. Mr. Freeze is classic.
Yeah, that's some of the best puns. I mean, the entirety of his dialogue from beginning to end is just one giant pun.
It's so bad, incredible. But it's so good.
It is. That's why it's so good. It's truly awful. It's probably the role of Schwarzenegger's life, too, if we're being honest.
Oh, yeah. In my mind.
Anyway, let's move on to some community questions, shall we?
Yes. Do we want to talk about E3 at all? Like,
oh, our prediction. That's next week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wait, is it next week or the following
week? It's next weekend.
Dang. Okay. Well, I guess. I don't know what I can predict because Sony's not there. Microsoft are kind of already said what I thought we might see.
Yeah.
Nintendo, you never know what they're going
to
bring.
I guess let's just do this. Let's kind of like bring up each studio and then like maybe what we would like to see or what we think might happen. I mean, we don't have to spend too much time on this, but I don't know. I think just predicting a little bit would be fun. I'm not sure how short on time you are at the moment.
Alrighty.
But
let's do it.
Yeah, okay, let's start with, I guess, Microsoft, since that's the most intriguing in my opinion. So I think we definitely see Halo Infinite and Gears of War 5. Do you think we see a tease or anything for the new Xbox at this event?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, you see, they talked about what was it? The Xbox One X. They talked about that at E3 before they released that. So I don't know if they would do it again for like a brand new generation, or if they would wait and talk about it like, you know, sort of like what Sony did for the PlayStation 4, have its own event, which I think is more likely. But I think they might talk about their streaming service since Stadia was announced, you know, a few months ago. I think it would be smart for them to maybe, you know, talk about what they're going to be doing. And also there was that story about how Sony and Microsoft are teaming up for the streaming side of things. I guess because Sony doesn't really have any direction in terms of what they're going to be doing, so they're working with Microsoft. So it'd be cool if, like, I don't know, Shuhei Yoshida walked up on the stage at the Microsoft conference and they announce like what they're going to be doing in collaboration. That could be a good moment for gaming. That's something that I could see happening. What else is Microsoft? Do you think we'll see like any new IP from one of the studios that they acquired over the last couple years? Do you think we'll see like a new IP announced or something like that?
Maybe.
Again, this is just all speculation, like what we think would happen. Because I don't know if there's been enough time to go by that any of those games would even be ready to show off, you know, or even announce. Because I think like they spent, well, it wasn't, I'm trying to remember when they acquired all those studios, because they bought like a lot all at once, right? Like, it was like a few months of like a period of time where they purchased like 5 or 6 studios, I feel like.
Right.
I don't know. What else does Microsoft do? Like they're going to have I think I read a Twitter post where they're going to be showing off more games this year than they ever have before.
That doesn't surprise me.
That's what they said last year too. So now it's going to be even more this year.
Right. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. I mean, and also they're like, Sony's not there. So not that Sony shows any third party games anymore, because they usually don't, besides like Call of Duty. But yeah, I just like, I cannot wait to watch that conference. And it's on a Sunday this year. I don't have to take off work. It's going to be great. Yeah, I don't really have anything more to say about Microsoft. I think that's the one I'm most anticipated for. So I guess we could talk about Nintendo next. What is they'll probably show off Fire Emblem. I don't think they're going to be talking, they might talk about Pokemon, but I think they're having like a short, like, direct just for Pokemon. So I don't know if they'll bring it up in their E3 direct. I still don't even know like what Nintendo is doing right now in terms of their E3 direct, because they haven't like announced like a big showcase for E3, but they announced like a 5-minute Pokemon direct that's happening around E3. So I don't know if like they're having a big direct for a lot of their games like they usually do a couple times a year, or if like they're just doing a little short Pokemon direct and that's it. Because they usually have they have like one game at E3 that they have like, you know, big coverage for. They'll have like their booth themed around it. So I don't know if that's going to be, I mean, I would imagine it's Pokemon because that's the biggest game from them coming out this year. But I think also Animal Crossing is announced for this year. And there might be something else. But I'm pretty sure Pokemon's the biggest one. So I imagine their area at the E3 show floor will be mostly Pokemon, which is exciting for me. I want to see more about that game. I'm definitely anticipating it for the Switch. It's going to be super exciting to play a brand new Pokemon entry on the Switch. I love my Switch so much. I don't think we'll see anything about Metroid, because that just got new studio acquired it. I think Rare is making it now, right? Yeah. So probably won't see anything from that front. We might hear something about Fire Emblem. I know that's coming out like at the end of July, I think. So that's coming out fairly soon. I can't think of anything else for Nintendo. Is there anything like you want to see from Nintendo that not necessarily has been announced, but something you'd want as a fan?
Not really.
Okay. That is it. Link's Awakening that's coming out later this year.
I believe so. Yeah, we'll probably see more of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to play that. Like, having only played Breath of the Wild, it'll be cool to go back and play one of the games that have been kind of reimagined for Switch. And I love the art style, the direction they went with. What should we talk about next? EA. They're going to be talking about Jedi, what's it called? Fallen Order.
Fallen Order.
Yeah, I'm super jazzed to hear more about that. Also, Apex Legends, obviously. Big fan here. We'll see more FIFA. We'll see Madden. We'll see what else. Battlefield, I guess. I think EA released like a schedule of what they're talking about, and I don't think Anthem was on that list. Isn't it crazy like what happened to Anthem? Like, it is just the biggest flop ever. Yeah. I feel so, like, I don't even feel bad for BioWare, actually. Like, it's a train wreck. It just proves that you need, above all else, a sense of direction before you make a game.
Right.
Because they put that game out and there was nothing to do. Like, It's like in the same genre as a Destiny or a Division, but there was nothing to grind for. So it was just like a watered down, like the gameplay was fun. It was a good game in that sense. But if there's nothing to do when you play the game, then what's the point, you know? So, yeah. I don't really have anything more to say about EA. I'm just really excited about Jedi Fallen Order and Apex, obviously. Ubisoft teased that they're going to be releasing four games before spring 2019, which is insane. We know one of them is going to be Ghost Recon Breakpoint, I think it's called. And then you have to imagine that another one's going to be the new Watch Dogs that's been kind of rumored to be revealed this year. But I don't know like what else they're working on, because if I was going to speculate as to what one of those would be, I have to imagine that they're the only like big AAA, like in terms of like all the E3 people besides Square, I guess they're the only one that doesn't have a battle royale. And I'm like kind of wondering if they're making one, you know, because I feel like everyone wants a piece of that pie right now because of how popular the I don't know if it's more of a genre or a game mode, whatever you want to call it, but everyone seems to be in on that pie except Ubisoft. And I got to imagine that they're kind of looking at it and seeing what they can do in the space. Like, I don't know if they'll do it within an existing IP that they have, or if maybe they'll just make something brand new. Either way, the idea of that excites me. They're already pretty, they've dipped their toes in the multiplayer space with Division 2 and, what's it called? What's that game called? Rainbow Six Siege. So they definitely know how to, you know, make thriving multiplayer communities and, you know, keep those games alive. So I imagine maybe that's something they're working on. Maybe not. Anything from Ubisoft excite you or what they could potentially announce? Because I don't think they're going to be releasing an Assassin's Creed this year, so they won't be talking about that. Maybe some DLC for what is it, Origins that's out now? No, it's Odyssey.
Odyssey.
So maybe they have something for that. I don't know. Maybe they say more about what's that one game they've been working on for a while.
It's Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe there's more updates on that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll talk about their existing IP more.
Splinter Cell?
I don't know.
Doubt it.
I've never been a huge Ubisoft fan. I know some people are. It's, for whatever reason, it's like them and Bethesda. For whatever reason, their franchises aren't as appealing to me as other things.
Bethesda? What about Bethesda do you think we'll see?
We'll
see from them?
Definitely Doom. We got to see Doom.
Yeah, we'll see a lot of Doom, undoubtedly. They're even putting up on those three buildings they always put stuff on every year. It's Doom Eternal this year, which is awesome.
Oh, cool. They'll talk more about that Wolfenstein.
Youngblood?
Yeah, the thing with his daughters. We're not going to see Elder Scrolls. We're not going to see Starlink. They've already said that.
We might get like, I doubt it, but like some sort of update on Fallout 76.
Dude, I bet you we will. I think it needs it. It needs like a, people don't play the game anymore, I don't think. Like they need to give people a reason to
play
it.
I've always loved the idea of that game. It's just a lot was lacking for me. So maybe after all the updates I assume they've been making in the meantime, up until whatever they may or may not announce at E3, maybe it'll draw me back in. I don't know.
Yeah,
I would hope
you
it
played
would.
It right.
I did play it for a hot minute with Preston. I think we played it for a few hours and that was it.
Gotcha.
So,
you think Bethesda announces a new IP? I don't think they do.
I'd like that. I'm always open to new IP, but we'll see. As long as we get a lot of Doom Eternal gameplay, which I think is a given, I'll be happy.
Yeah. I do plan
and also
on
hope that
Doom.
Comes out this year. I hope that comes out in the fall at the very least.
Yeah, I'll be playing Doom this summer at some point. So
you should. It's one of the best shooters of all time.
Of all time.
Mark my words. Of all time, yes.
Wow. I'll keep that in mind.
So
I think the last thing to talk about is Square Enix. They revealed on social media that they're going to be revealing Marvel's Avengers. Finally.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. That is the title of the game. And I think there were a couple other details about it that I don't have pulled up in front of me, so I'm just going to kind of guess as to what I remember them saying. I think like, it's going to be a single player driven game, but there's going to be a way to like upgrade your characters. And I think there's going to be some sort of multiplayer component or like shared world component, I think. And I still don't know what that game's going to be. Like, we're going to know next week, but like, I don't know. Like, is this going to be a game that's sort of like a Division, or is it just going to be like a, like, I don't know. Like, is this going to be more of a single player game or a multiplayer game? It's hard to say. But just the idea of having a game where you can play as, you know, Captain America or Iron Man or Spider-Man, it's exciting. And I hope for Square Enix's sake, not that they're like struggling, but I hope like this is a game that takes off. Because besides Spider-Man PS4, like, we need more great superhero games besides Batman. I guess Batman's good too, but I don't know. Like, I want something that's different from those, like, not necessarily just story driven, but has a new take on a superhero, what a superhero game can be, I guess. I bet they'll bring that. In terms of like what else Square Enix is talking about, I have no idea.
I don't have much to add. I hate to say it, Jacob.
Yeah, sorry. I kind of just spurred this on you.
I'm losing you every 5 seconds too.
Oh no, you're frozen for me now. Can you still hear me? Garrett, can you hear me? Oh no. Well, looks like we broke up again. Garrett. Hey.
Hello.
There we go. All right, we're back.
Yeah, I don't know what to predict about Avengers. I'm just excited to see it.
Yeah. But I guess that's it, dude.
Okay. Community questions. Here we go.
Oh,
ladies
yeah.
and gentlemen, thank you so much for writing in this week. We actually only have 2 questions, I have to say it. Maybe 3. But thank you so much for writing in this week to have your questions read on the show. If you'd like them read on the show, you can reach us in 1 of 3 places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel. All that being said, if you want your questions read live on the show, always include the hashtag #AskIOG. We will read them. Thank you so much for all of you who wrote in this week. Got some fun stuff to talk about. First one comes from Sam Harris, which we effed up again, Jacob. I have got to be better about this. Reading questions before we talk about the news stories they're related to. Sam Harris says, "Hello, Boz." He says, "Sorry, whomever has to read this. Dudes, like, that Death Stranding trailer was totally gnar. It blew my freaking mind. Anyway, here's a banger of a question. Death Stranding seems to have a lot going for it in terms of symbolism and metaphors when it comes to the underlying plot. From the trailer, what does it all mean? Give me your theory on what's going on. Don't be afraid to speculate. I'm not sure most of us will be wrong until we play the game, but it's all fun to guess. Have a stellar week and remember, tequila is a great party stater, but LSD keeps the lights on." It looks like Kojima's talking about it's like just having the world be connected because it's so fractured at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, the metaphor is like, oh, we need to be more connected. Cool. That's the theory, I guess.
Yeah. It's still hard to say like what's actually going on, because like, why are those, I think they're called like BTs, like, why are those shadow people like kind of, because they're like in between worlds, right? Like, they're not dead, but they're also not alive. They're like in between somehow, and somehow the babies connect you to seeing them or sensing them. And I still like, what is up with the babies, Gary? Like, why is that a thing? I have no idea. It's kind of freaky, to be honest. And why does the collector's edition have a baby in a capsule? That is the weirdest collector's edition I've ever seen. Like, why would you want that on your desk? That's beyond me.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that myself.
And it's $200. I don't know if I see the value in all that, but more power to you if you want to get that. It's hard to say, Sam. Like, obviously the game's going to be about connection, but precisely how we're connecting things or connecting people or each other, arguably, within the game is still beyond me. It's hard for me to really say what's going to be happening.
Yeah. I have nothing else to add about Death Stranding. I think it looks cool, though.
Yeah. And we shared our thoughts earlier. Thank you, Sam.
Carlos writes in and says, "What movie or show do you guys want first from PlayStation Productions? I was thinking a Sly Cooper cartoon would be pretty cool, but let me know your thoughts from the EOG fathers."
Yeah, this happened the week we took off. Yeah. That they are setting up a movie division.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember Sly Cooper 3D animated movie was in production for a little while. It must have been canned at this point, but there was a trailer for it that looked pretty cool. But I think Sly Cooper would be awesome for sure.
I would like to see them give... I guess... So can this be like a movie or a TV show?
I believe so.
I would love to see... I know they've like been trying to get an Uncharted movie going. I'd love to see that with Nathan Fillion. I think he's the perfect Nathan Drake. I want to see them do more with Ratchet and Clank. I think a TV show would be perfect for Ratchet and Clank. Just seeing them go on like different adventures on different planets in the galaxy. Like that could be so entertaining. It's like a childish cartoon kind of show. I don't necessarily want to see like God of War because I feel like I love seeing that game contained in its video game universe. Especially like I don't want to see like new stories told with like the reboot. Like I just want to see how that plays out in game form. Yeah, I don't really know because like I don't necessarily think this is a good move for PlayStation. Like I'd rather just see them all hands on deck on games. Like I know there's gonna be separate divisions within the company to focus just on these shows or whatever they're like making through this new media, but I don't know. Sly Cooper would be cool. I've never been a huge Sly Cooper guy, but I could see that really working out well in either a movie or a show. Just the idea of him like sneaking around and doing what he does could be cool.
Agreed.
Thank you for the question, Carlos.
Yeah. Fribes writes in and says, follow up to last week's question about data privacy. Y'all talked about how you personally don't care too much about what do you say about targeting children or targeting boomer generation / the elderly who on average have less understanding about how these gizmos and gadgets work and learn about? Children can't be protected from this stuff by parents who don't understand it themselves, you know? How would y'all approach this as a potential future, as potential future parents? I don't know, because the world's changing a lot and social media is very prevalent in our society. So you just don't allow your children to have a social media account. Don't allow them to have a cell phone.
Well, that's easier said than done.
Let them live as children in the 90s, essentially.
Yeah.
So.
So I don't know if you can't completely protect them, right? It's like even when they're like at school or something, they're going to be exposed to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, of course, having privacy is important to some extent, like in terms of like protecting your family. But also, I think just as time goes on, privacy is becoming less and less important. Like through social media, like we're literally allowing these companies to just know everything about us. And most people just don't have a problem with, like, I know that's different when it comes to like children because they don't know any better, or like adults, like our parents don't necessarily, because like lately, like our parents are finally on the board of like social media. Like all of our parents are on social media now. They're on Facebook. Everyone is on Facebook, and like younger people are moving away from Facebook because our parents are on Facebook. So I don't know, like, it's hard for me to like kind of say because I don't have children. I don't know what it's like to want to protect them and, you know, have their best interests at heart. But so what was the question again? I'm kind of just rambling right now.
About data privacy and children and shielding them from it. How do we feel about it?
I don't know. Like, I think you should to an extent. Like, that's what ratings are for, right? Like, don't want your kid watch an R-rated movie or something like that, but you can only do it to a certain extent, you know? And I don't know how entirely important that is. Like, obviously there's always people out there that are the worst of us that want to take advantage of you and, you know, or want to like, you know, this is like extreme, but kidnap your kid or something. Like, there's always people like that in the world that exist and want to do harm to other people. But also, I think just naturally people are just as human nature, most people are good. People want good. They don't want to do harm. And I have to like, I have to put that kind of thinking upon companies too. I think for the most part, companies just want to not necessarily take advantage of us, but they want to be profitable and they want to make people happy. So they make more money, right? And I don't know. I don't think we need to be too concerned about a future where people are just have no privacy or like don't feel safe. I think America's not necessarily in a great spot right now, but I think we're probably in the best spot we've ever been in terms of safety. So
I have nothing else to add about the data recovery. I'm just going to, if I ever have children, Lord willing, I do. They will not have social media, nor will they have cell phones until they're at least 15.
Wow.
We'll see. The world may be much different by the time I have kids. I don't know. But yeah, that's my plan for now.
Same.
And the good news is that we are growing. Well, I guess other parents that have young kids now are also growing up in this generation. But we have been around for the conception of social media and the interconnected world of our society. So we know we should know how to properly tackle that when the time comes. Hopefully. We could just be total idiots. I don't know. Sam writes in again and says, oh, hi, gents. How's life going? My life is going. Existential pondering aside, I have a question for you. Telltale Games are being delisted from digital platforms, and this brings up a legitimate concern for the future of gaming. What will happen when digital games are not accessible? Games from yesteryear are being remade or remastered, but not all gaming gems are being polished up and sold again. And the situation where Telltale Games, those that are not that old, maybe a little over a decade, if the apocalypse comes and we are flung back to the industrial age, how we get our beloved libraries of digital entertainment. Please enlighten us, O great overlords of gaming. Have a stellar week. P.S. I must carry out the decree of the anime ambassador. Insist you must watch Demon Slayer. It is artistically stunning and the animation is top notch. Good to know. Thank you, Sam.
Demon Slayer. Good to know.
How will we access games that are thrown off of digital platforms?
Well, good news right now, most games are still made physically. So it's not something we're necessarily having to worry about yet, but it is coming with streaming, I imagine, that everything's just going to be digital. Yeah. I mean, that's a fair worry, I guess. It's we're not going to have any way to back things up, like especially if a company goes under like Telltale did. Like those games are just going to be lost. Luckily, a lot of those are in physical form. But yeah, it's I don't know, Sam. We're going to lose stuff more than likely unless these companies are backing them up and plan to re-release them. I don't know. Like I'm not really like worried about it necessarily because I'm not a big guy. I'm not a huge fan of going back and playing old games. So that's not really a concern of me, but I know a lot of people love going back to play old games. And not to say that I never do that or don't want to do that ever. It's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not worried about it until it actually happens to me. And then like I can't play a game that I really want to anymore because it's lost. You know, it's, I don't know. I'm not too worried about it, honestly. The future is more exciting to me than the past. And people often say, you know, we learn more about the future from, you know, learning about the past, which is true, but I don't know. I feel like you can go either way on this argument.
What you could do is, granted, if they're only streaming, then they're lost. Sucks. But if they're streaming and you can download them, maybe download them to an external drive and you have them forever. Sure. That's if you don't break your drive like I did. So it's my only solution I can suggest.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as like owning a hard copy of a game. If you download it, like, because you can break a disc and lose your copy of the game, right? It's the same as like your hard drive breaking. So
certainly.
Of course, the hard drive being much more detrimental.
Yeah.
Garrett don't do it from did. Experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely something to keep in mind. Like, hopefully there will be some way to, you know, keep our games in the future, but I don't have that answer.
Neither do I, but Sam, I appreciate the question nonetheless. Big Jake 23 writes in and says, why don't you guys like to rate games? I think it would be cool if we got an IOG review of a game. Anyway, it's awesome that you guys are still putting a podcast out, even though your schedules are insane. Keep it up, boys. The community's here for you. Peace.
Thank you.
Jake, thank you, sir. I don't know. We've never like actively chosen not to rate games. I think we've jokingly, not really jokingly, but offhandedly made remarks about rating games in the past. Like we'd be like, if I had a gun to my head and had to rate this game, I'd give it a 9 out of 10, essentially what we do.
Only if I had a gun to my head, though.
Right. Because I'm always of the mindset that games are not the sum of the numbered score they receive.
Sure.
They're typically an amalgamation of multiple opinions, and you obviously need to form your own. But I say a number is only good for summing up like the sum of different opinions, not really one singular opinion, maybe. Yeah. Like collectively across the board in Rotten Tomatoes, this movie has a 70% is an amalgamation of many opinions.
Yeah.
So I think numbers work in that sense. Be like, what is the general synopsis of the reaction to, say, this movie, game, or TV show?
Exactly.
Whereas individual opinions are critical. I mean, if you trust someone over everyone else, I would always go there first. We're capable of reviewing games. We just don't get review copies. And back in the day when we first started the podcast, we technically had time to play all the way through. There was a few times in the past where we'd all three play through an entire game, and then we'd talk about it extensively on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be sort of our review discussion. When we had time to do that, we did that pretty frequently. Yeah. But nowadays, it's almost impossible, unfortunately. But
and while you're talking about it, I think there's a lot of value, and I think that has more value than just like, hey, this is our brief thoughts on a game, and here's our score. Like, I think there's much more value in like sharing stories and, you know, like experiences about a game that we all played and enjoyed. I think that has more value than just like giving something a number score, obviously.
Yes, but there's also nothing stopping us from having a 3-hour discussion and then giving it a score. We could still sure. do that.
I just don't think the score matters that much, but that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to, you know, have their own opinions and, you know, not necessarily agree with that score. But if we don't give it a score and just give our thoughts, then other people can share their thoughts, contribute to the conversation. And it just kind of reinforces that we're kind of a smaller YouTube/gaming community, and we value opinions and thoughts over a single score to describe our feelings.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed to ever since I started writing for COG, I'm not opposed to giving number scores because I had to at that point. So I'll give number scores when we go forward. I don't care.
Yeah, like just something simple like 1 out of 10 or even just like we can make up our own scaling.
Right.
Kind of like what Jeremy John does. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right, so grand finale today comes from Fribes. Fribes writes in and says, hashtag ask IOG, rare, medium well. No. Now, before we answer,
no.
He could be referring to steak, or he could be referring to men. I'd like to think he's referring to men. In this case, I'm going to take medium rare.
Yeah, medium rare men.
Yep.
I think I would be medium rare regardless.
So, Jacob, you are beyond rare when it comes to men. You are essentially to the point where the cow's still mooing.
Yeah.
So, you are...
So you would eat me in the flesh?
Oh, absolutely. I'd eat you alive, Jacob.
Thank you.
But I think majority of the time, I'm going to go medium rare myself.
Yeah, I am medium rare as well.
Excellent.
I used to be medium well, but last couple of years, I switched to medium rare because I realized I was an idiot and there's much more flavor when it's not
burnt.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. We should get some steaks, Jacob.
We should. Yeah, we need to do a lot of things.
I know. But first and foremost, let's really flirt around the idea of shopping together on Sunday, at the very least, seeing Godzilla.
Okay.
Down for that?
Yep.
All right, I'll text you about it.
Text me tomorrow about it.
Reach out to Preston, too. But ladies and gentlemen, that is going to conclude episode 203 of the podcast. I apologize. The news was somewhat minimal. Our discussions could have been lengthier, but I have a busy day ahead. But like I said, 2 weeks' time, my summer is nothing planned. Nothing is planned whatsoever. So there's no reason for us not to do some live streams together, maybe a couple Let's Plays here and there, and also prepare more for the podcast, which we're excited about. And in the meantime, we cannot thank you enough for the continued support. It means the absolute world to us. We still love doing this every week as often as we can. I never want anyone to mistake us for getting lazy or not caring. We still value each and every one of you so, so much. All of you who write in, all of you who send kind messages of support and comment on YouTube and on Discord. It continues to amaze us, and we are forever in your debt, and we are forever thankful. And we hope you have a just truly unforgettable, lovely summer week wherever you are out there in the world. And we will carry on. In the meantime, we're excited to discuss all things E3. We'll have an E3 2019 tab, of course, on Discord, and we'll all hang out there and talk. If we don't do any coverage this year, which is sad, I would have loved to have done coverage, but obviously times are different. But anyway, we're excited. Hope you guys have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in. That's it for me, Jacob. Do you have anything else to add?
No, just want to echo exactly what you said. Thank you guys so much for continuing to listen to us every single week when we post. Please continue to discuss topics in Discord. I love getting on Discord at the end of my days and seeing all the interaction between all of our fellow EOGs on Discord. It's really exciting. And if you're not part of a Discord, please join our Discord. Links are at any of the bottom of our YouTube videos. Just click that link. It takes you right to the page. Gets you right in. You can join the conversation with so many like-minded gamers, such as yourself. But happy E3 week, guys. It's so close, and we're going to be... The world's never going to be the same after this week of E3. We're going to know things that we never expected, things that we did, and things that we're super excited about. But Garrett, that is it for me. I guess I could shout myself out. If you want to watch me play games on the internet, I stream on Facebook a few times a week over at facebook.com, or it's actually fb.gg/jalka27, which is J-A-L-A-K. Wait, I can't even spell my own channel. J-A-L-K-A-27. So be sure to hit me up, give me a follow, and I'll hopefully see some of you guys when I stream. But until next time, guys, thank you so much for listening and tuning in, and happy E3.
Likewise. I echo that, Jacob.
All right. Bye.
See you.